Welcome to the Free From Mummies podcast, brought to you by Kate and Jade, mates, mums, and allergy and asthma advocates.
Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of the Free From Mummies podcast. In this episode, we are joined by the allergy chef, Kathleena, all the way from San Francisco. This episode, after we recorded it, both Jade and I were absolutely buzzing. Like, we were texting each other just like, wow. And I even did an Instagram story to say, I literally went upstairs to my boys in bed and just said to them, you can be anything that you want to be. And yeah, Kathleena really added a boost of positivity, enthusiasm into my day when we recorded it. And she's also shifted my mindset, which was much needed after a tricky few weeks. I really needed the boost, and I certainly got that. I hope that you get the same enjoyment from listening to this episode, and we would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoy. So today we are totally honoured to be joined by Kathleena, the allergy chef and a multiple allergy sufferer. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It's so cool to be here. And I think it's neat that it's evening where you are.
Yeah.
Because here it's afternoon. So it's like, you guys are getting a blast from the past, right? And I'm like seeing into the future. So I love it. This is great.
I like this. So excited to have you on, Kathleena. The stuff you've done is just inspirational. So I look forward to hearing more about it.
So Kathleena, would you like to start us off by telling us a bit about your allergy journey and how you got to where you are today?
So in a nut-free nutshell, as someone once told me.
I like
me,
that.
Yeah, that's a great
thing. They told me that. I was like, I'm stealing that line. It's so good. Like,
yeah.
Me too. It's like such a good line. So I would say I was definitely born allergic to some things, and it was undiagnosed. I went through a very long, many years of suffering. And there was a point when I was a teenager and it could have been diagnosed, and it very much was not. All the specialists that were in the room, nobody said food allergy test. You know, I basically had a mild seizure for about 36 hours, and they were like, what happened? And I'm like, I ate the food, this happened. And no one out of all, you know, these doctors, nobody even said food allergy test. They were like, let's test the heart. Let's test the brain. Let's test the this. Let's, you know, they went through every other organ. Looking at it now, I'm just thinking, we have so much to fix in the medical world that a child can literally say to you, I ate the food and got sick.
Yeah.
And you don't even think food allergy test. Mm. Like, how far away from reality are you at that point? Right? But that's my like little grievance with the world. That's my only one, really. And so fast forward many years later, I'm well over 450 pounds. And I actually have about 250 different symptoms, and one of which is somewhat helpful, I suppose. It's unexplainable extreme weight gain. So I can gain up to 15 pounds in a week from a few wrong foods. It's pretty crazy. And obviously I'm not eating that much to sustain that sort of weight. So that's what makes it so not awesome. But basically I got to the point where I couldn't leave the house anymore. If he barely touched me, I was in excruciating pain. And that's kind of what started the diagnosis process. And believe it or not, it was done by a chiropractor who had a degree in neurology. Wow. And he reached out to his network of people. And he was like, I don't know what's wrong with you, but we're going to figure it out together. And he was the first person to really treat me like a person. You know, a lot of the Western specialists, they were like, oh, it's all your fault. You're, you know, it's this, it's that, you know, take these pills. And I'm like, no, there's something else, you know. And there was a lot of things going on at the same time, you know, but so I'm just sort of skimming over it at this point.
Yeah.
But basically, he said, you know, by chance, let's try eliminating gluten. And so then I just sort of started eliminating different things and I started to feel better. So that's when we stopped and I did a whole, because I'd already done a whole bunch of tests. And then we decided to do like complete total food panel tests. And at the time we did multiple brands of the same types of tests to make sure we weren't getting like false positives, false negatives, all that sort of stuff. So we did a lot of testing and it just basically turned out I was allergic to everything. So, and then started eliminating foods. Within 2 years, not only did all the weight fall off, but then it sort of did a pendulum where I ended up in a state of wasting where I lost more than 30% of my body weight in 30 days. And I was so sick, they were like, you're going to be dead in 30 days.
Oh my goodness.
Because I was at the point where I couldn't drink water safely because water is processed with what I'm allergic to. And so it was like swallowing razor blades. Wow. And I got down to about 2 ounces of water a day. That was a good day. And then things sort of changed when I found safe water, and that was really a godsend, and kind of stumbled into it. So if you're ever in the States, get some raw water from Summit Spring. They're really cool.
Raw water.
Yeah. So they have the only exemption in the United States to not treat the water. We had actually gotten water imported from all over the world, and every water made me sick, and no one could ever figure out why. It all boils down to how it's processed. So by getting truly unprocessed water from like one of the cleanest sources ever, I could drink water. Because that actually threw a lot of specialists for a loop, because everybody was like, well, is this a true water allergy or is this something else? And no one could ever say, because, so I'm a mimicker. When you have over 200 symptoms, you mimic everything else, right? Mm. I mimic Job's, cancer, Raynaud's, everything big and little in between. I can go to any specialist and they will diagnose me with what they specialize in.
Yeah.
So I'm like the universal sufferer, I guess, or something. I don't know. But basically the food finally started, you know, getting under control, and sourcing safe food, that was really the hardest part. It wasn't being allergic to everything. That was easy. It was, so when you have a severe corn allergy like I do, you have to source truly corn-free foods. Well, corn is in everything. It's in food, medicine, you know, agriculture. It's literally everywhere. So that was actually the hardest part, was just sourcing safe foods to trial. And then got the water under control and just sort of started to bounce back. And, you know, when I didn't die, we were like, okay, everything in my head has got to get out of my head. Because there's so much valuable information between my ears that, you know, the world needs to know. And that's really what started our bakery and the cookbooks and Raise and the Allergy Chef, as you know me now, because, you know, I really am on a mission to change the world one bite at a time. I'm on a mission to show everyone, like, look, I don't care what your diagnosis is. Safe and delicious food can be found. If I can find it, so can you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the reality here. It will cost you elbow grease, but you know, I'm trying to show people, especially kids, you know, because the diagnosis rate is on the rise. Like, I want every little kid to be like, you know what, if I want to be a chef, if I want to go to space, if I want to do this or that, I can do it. My diagnosis does not have to hold me back, you know, and that's what I'm trying to show them.
Yeah, I'm trying to instill that in my children as well at the moment, because for the first time ever, there's been a few things that have been said by my eldest is six. And he's made comments for the first time that perhaps life would be easier or even better if he didn't have his allergies and eczema and asthma. And that's been really, really tough, actually. It's something that I've always prepared for, but actually him saying those things and knowing that he's aware of, I suppose, his differences, I really want to make sure that he knows that anything is possible.
I think in those cases, one of the best things we can do for kids like that is to show them people with a range of disabilities that are doing awesome things, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you look at the Paralympics. My goodness, those people are amazing. Like, okay, I'm sorry, but I cannot do half of what they can do. Like, I just cannot. And I think when we show our children who suffer with anything, right, look at what that person's doing. I know you're not the same, but the principle is the same. It's like, there was this one lady, I saw her years ago on a documentary, and she has like no legs. Like she has no body from the waist down, and she rides skateboards, and she does like all these cool skateboard tricks and things. And I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And then there was this one story of a kid who, I think he was born blind, and he taught himself echolocation, like a dolphin.
Wow.
And he just walks around like a normal person. He doesn't even have to use like a cane or anything. He just does literal echolocation with his mouth. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Right? Yeah.
And I think when we see these extraordinary people doing these things, defying the diagnosis, that's what kids need to see. And I think, you know, in part, that's what I strive to be. It's like, you know, it's funny, the name The Allergy Chef, it actually started as a joke because Carlton was like, you know, it's so funny. You're allergic to everything, but you cook all this food. You're the allergy chef. Get it? Haha. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, that's not funny. And he's like, yes, it is. I'm like, no, it's not. And then I pull up the computer and I go, dude, theallergychef.com is available. How funny is that? And that's literally what kicked the whole thing off when we kind of branched out into The Allergy Chef. It was just this funny, not funny moment between us. And it was like, that's the thing, though. If every little kid with a food allergy can say, well, if she's dealing with 200 and can't drink most water, I can do anything.
Yeah.
In comparison, I can go to Mars, right?
Yeah.
Pack my safe food and hop on a rocket ship. You know, I just want kids especially to see, you know, it's part of the reason we have the bakery. It's like all these kids think they can't have cake. Yeah, no hard pass. You're going to get cake. You're going to get cake. You're going to get ice cream. You're getting brownies, cookies, pancakes, waffles, every other carb that you can think of because you know how kids are. The kids aren't like, oh no, I'll never eat broccoli again. Right. No, that's not what they say. They're thinking about like everything else. And so I just need them to see like, oh, you can still have everything else and eat your broccoli, you know, but
I absolutely love this. Like, I'm definitely going to, like, now you've sort of opened my eyes a little bit, even just through that short conversation of things that I'm going to do with Teddy. And I'm definitely going to be telling him about you and everything that you've done, because you are that person for allergy sufferers, I suppose. You're the person we can all look up to and see how much you've achieved.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's interesting because when we started, I was like, you know, I want that name, the Allergy Chef, one day to be a symbol of hope. Like, that's the legacy I want to leave. I want people to hear that name and be like, I can do this.
Could you talk us through the Allergy Chef and what you have under that umbrella? Because it's huge, isn't it? You know,
you've got it is. All right. So the parent company is Free and Friendly Foods. And that also started with a funny name because I was, you know, people wanted us to start a bakery. And I was like, no, because I'd have to call it gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, soy-free, wheat. And I had this long name. And then I was like, paleo-friendly, vegan-friendly, gaps-friendly, corn-free-friendly, like foods. Like, that's what we do. And somebody said, why not just call it Free and Friendly Foods? And I was like, all right, okay, fine. Okay. Like, I'll do it. Because that's my whole thing. Like, if there's not a good name, I won't do it. And so that's how the parent company got started. So Free and Friendly Foods is a bakery that we started here in the States. Pretty much in the entire state of California, we are the only free from bakery that has this level of safety that we offer.
It's worth a trip just for that. Booking us over.
So there's the bakery component, and then we did 6 cookbooks, and then we did, so what's interesting is with our cookbooks, we were the only ones doing it, and still nobody's done it. We created this chart where you'd open up the front of the book rather than do like a traditional index. It had a chart where it listed out all the major and minor allergens, right? And it was like a map key, and it would have like a checkbox or an X. And so you could literally go down every recipe and see what it was free from on this giant chart. And that's sort of where Raise got its start, because I was like, I don't want to do any more cookbooks. You know, if we do anything else, it'll be digital. And once again, we didn't have a name. And I said, well, I don't want to start it because anything that I can think of, it excludes too many people, right? Because if you say the word allergy, if you have celiac disease, you walk away. You're like, oh, that's not for me. But people were kind of pushy, and they were like, but you have so much to share and you have so much to say. And I'm like, well, there's no name, so I'm not going to do it. So I was asked to write down everyone I would want to include. And I'm like, okay, so I write down all these people. And that's where the word Raise comes from. So R is for restricted diet. For allergy, I is for intolerance, S is for special diet. That's where I compromised, actually, because the S includes paleo, GAPS, AIP, SCD, BOE, vegan, all those sorts of people, low histamine. And then the E is for EOE. When you put those 5 letters together as defined, you literally include everyone with any type of restricted diet. And that was my point. I wanted full inclusion because at the end of the day, people feel invisible. Yeah. And I'm like, no. Yeah. I see you, I hear you, and I have something for you. And on top of that, I like to turn everything upside down. You know, you look at like, say, the AIP paleo diet, and everything has coconut. Well, what if you need AIP and you're allergic to coconut? Mm. Or vegans who like throw tree nuts and soy at everything. I'm like, you know what? No, there's another way to do it. And that's my thing. We make sure that every group who falls through the cracks, so if you have a special diet plus an allergy or whatever, any combination, we got you covered. In fact, I call it the crown jewel of the kingdom. It's our advanced recipe search. And there's literally nothing like it anywhere on any app, any website, anywhere except for us, where you can take more than 85 filters of individual allergens, food families and food groups, specialty diets, and special requests. And you go through and you pick all your filters. Every recipe that comes up matches all of your results. It's an and filter, not an or. So every recipe must meet every need. Now, why is this revolutionary? Because if you live in a mixed allergy household, You take the needs of the first person, the second person, the third person, the fourth person, you check all the boxes, and now you're cooking for the lowest common denominator. Gone are the days of cooking this for this person or that for that person. Yeah. And it is so powerful. It's insanely powerful, especially when you can add in specialty diets, right? Like, nobody's doing that. Nobody's saying, hey, I need corn-free and low histamine together.
Yeah.
Right. And there's over, you know, the database has over 500 recipes on the website, and it, you know, we keep adding to it, but we finally are rolling out the final feature. And I think we can finally say we're not in beta mode after this, but you'll be able to create custom meal plans and automatic grocery shopping lists right on the website from the recipes.
Wow. Oh, that is so good.
And that, so that's going to roll out next week, and that's going to be radical. And what's really cool is, and you guys would love this, everything is done in the metric system with the imperial system off the side. Because when you're, so here's the thing. Almond flour, for example, weighs about half as much as other gluten-free flours. Okay. So the problem, a lot of people don't realize, the reason some of their free-from stuff turns out bad is because the weights are all wrong. Or they're trying to swap one thing for another, which is incompatible. And so we've made it so that you always get like precision results every time. So we have like people literally in tears telling us, I've not eaten something this good in years. I cannot believe you've created this. And I'm like,
I cool, so need to try that.
Go make more, right? Like, that's my thing. And because it's all metric for you ladies, you guys will just be riding home, right?
That's,
be like, oh, this is so easy. Like, I don't need to convert anything. I have reached this point where I actually hate the US system. I'm like, why do we even do this? Do you realize 1 cup and 1 pound aren't the same, even though they're both the unit of one? How does that make sense to anyone, right?
Yeah. The amount of times I've Googled how many grams is equal to 1/2 of a cup.
Oh my goodness. Right? And then it's like, yeah, no, it's true. Because you know, you've got 112 grams for 4 ounces, but then you've got 225 for, you know, a pound, which would be, if don't even, like, can we not?
Yeah.
I'm throwing the system under the bus. Ladies, yeah.
I'm really excited to try some of your gluten-free recipes because my poor kid, so he's got multiple allergies, and everything you try and substitute for a gluten-free flour, it just... he's ended up with some right combinations.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I can tell you. What's really cool is Carlton's allergic to coconut and macadamia, which at first is not a big deal unless you have to bring in a dairy allergy, which we do.
Yeah.
So you have to reinvent every wheel. But he knows what traditional conventional foods should taste like. Every recipe there is precision, delicious, amazing. So if it's there, you know it's good. And one of the things we actually encourage families to do is take your free from child, sit them down and do the search with them, and then get them excited, right? Even if you're not excited, just be like, oh my goodness, look at this, you could have that. Oh my goodness, look at this, you could have that. Like, get them so pumped, because that when they see you excited about their restrictions, it's so much easier for them to be at peace with it. Like, you know what, this isn't that big of a deal. Look at all this cool stuff. Oh my goodness, I can have this, you know. Like, it really are, my focal point is getting people to shift their mindset.
Yeah.
And to see, like, okay, it's not convenient, but it's also not the hardest thing you're ever going to do. No. You just got to get used to it. You got to jump through a few hoops, put in the elbow grease. And once you get, you know, a good system down, it's going to be like second nature. And
that's a nice way of looking at it as well, because I feel like so many of our conversations are around, oh, sorry, you can't have that, or, you know, or that's not safe for you. So it'd be really nice to be sat down and be like, oh yeah, that is what you have and do.
You
so,
get me. That's because that's what I want the conversation to be. I need the conversation to be, look at what you can
have. Yeah.
Because the moment you do that, you unlock the potential. It's funny because sometimes people will show me their safe list of, like, you know, 30 foods, and I start spouting out literally hundreds of combinations, and they're like, I've never thought of any of this. And I'm like, there you go. To me, it's just opening your eyes and seeing, oh, you can do this and this and this and this and that. Like, I see all the potential.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I really want to get others to see. And, you know, what's really cool is Raise has some, if you go to the website, there's a thing on the main menu that says free resources. And one of them is free recipes. So even if you're not a member, you can start there. make the fluffy pancakes. I feel like that's the easy win. If you need an easy win, start with the pancake.
Definitely gonna try that.
I was just gonna say, Kathleen, have you always had an interest in cooking?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, 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 no. Do not let it ever be known that this was my passion. No, it's funny because I have a degree in IT, and I used to build computers and do photography, and like I am not a kitchen person. In fact, I could not cook. Well, you know, we tell people what I do is literally a miracle from God, and I'm not exaggerating. I woke up one day and I could cook, literally.
Wow. Just cook.
I get every recipe right the first time, 98% of the time. I do. I have an incredible memory. I have a high IQ, so it works in my favor. I love science, so I understand principles and ratios and concepts and reactions.
Yeah, because it essentially is science, isn't it? When you're cooking with the measurements.
Free from is science on steroids. Yeah. People don't realize that, you know? And some people, they crack me up. They're like, I don't get how you can make these foods and never even eat it. And I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, it's just ratios. Like, once you understand the basic principle of, you know, this works and that works and that works and this works, you can start making other links and doing other things. And, you know, I try to teach people how to have that intuition and, you know, use a chef's brain, but it really is, it's just a miracle from God. That's really what this is. More than anything, my passion is to prove people wrong, believe it or not.
I like that.
Yeah. My passion is like, I love the idea of shoving it in someone's face when they're like, oh, you can't have good gluten-free bread. I'm like, oh yeah, watch me. Look at that. You know, that's my thing. You know, it was never like, I was not one of those kids that was like, oh, I can't wait to grow up and be a baker. No.
So interesting, isn't it? How your path and journey is taking you on that trajectory. And it seems like you're so passionate about helping children as well, you know, on their journeys.
Yeah. And it's not that I don't care about adults, like I do, but, you know, there's something just, it's a kid thing where I just,
I mean,
the reality is if you can change a child's life, you change the future, right?
Yeah.
Like infinitely, there's this huge trickle down effect. And I suppose maybe that's where, you know, helping parents too. It's like, if I can change a parent so that they can change their child, you know, the trickle down effect is enormous.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure, you know, even like with your podcast, right? Like, you're going to look back one day, look at all the episodes, look at all the people, and, you know, look at all the downloads and look at all these things. And you're going to realize, like, we helped a lot of people. We came into their lives for, you know, half an hour, whatever it is. And we just sort of, you know, took them by the hand for a stroll and helped them on their journey a little bit. And it creates this huge ripple that you and I, you know, the three of us will never really see the ripple, but it's there.
No, that's the nice thought about what we're doing and what you're doing is, you know, using what has been a really challenging time to help others on their journey and make it that little bit easier.
Well, and we know the diagnosis rate is on the rise. And so, you know, it's people like us, we're just blazing the trail. You know, we are creating a system so that, you know, it's interesting. I saw this thing the other day for International Women's Day about a woman who's much older now, who back in the 80s was trying to get free from foods to be more mainstream. You know, without her blazing that trail 25, 30 years ago, where would the three of us be?
Yeah.
Right. And that's really what it's all about right now. It's like the three of us, we picked a trail, right? We're each blazing one. And, you know, 20, 30 years down the road, they're going to look back and say, you know, free from is even better. You know, and it just keeps getting better, right? You know, we're at the point now where, you know, 1997 saw the huge spike in the diagnosis rate, and that's a whole story on its own. But those kids are adults now, young adults, and they're needing resources. They're needing to be independent. And they're now finally starting to maybe branch out and start a food company and do these other things. And as kids behind them come up and, you know, they're seeing the power of what they can do.
Yeah.
You know, that's the ripple.
Well, Kathleen, I love talking to you because you've brightened up my day, actually.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah, that is you're changing my mindset. I've not had an easy couple of days, and you're pointing me back in the right direction, I feel, this evening.
Good. You know, it's like, I never like to sugarcoat. The funny thing is, I don't sugarcoat anything, right? I'll tell people up front, especially like on recipes, I'll be like, you guys, I'm not going to lie. Only make this like twice a year. It's not worth the investment, but it's really good. Right. I've actually said that on a few recipes because it just takes so much time. But like, you know, if you really, really want it, put in the elbow grease.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, I don't expect people to think every day is easy. It's not, right? There are days where I know I don't want to do stuff, but at the end of the day, I feel like it really just comes down to, we can look at the have or the have not, right? Like, I mean, I guess another way to think of it is just no zero days. It was a really cool thing I read a couple years ago, and their whole point was just, you know, don't ever have a day where you get zero done, you know, just do something. Like, even if it's like super small, just no more zero days, you know. Yeah. And not that I needed the advice at the time, but, you know, I tell it to my kids and I'm like, you guys, get up off your butts. Stop having zero days, you know. And,
we all know, need that me, advice. It's like,
I just see the potential, and I don't know. I guess
everything, you know, it seems like.
Yeah, no, it's like I see my own limitations. And I guess for me, it makes me want to be able to make other people see, like, look, if I can't do a tenth of what you can, just imagine what you could do if you put your mind.
And how has parenting been with, you know, having as many allergies as you do? Have your children got allergies, or are they okay?
Yeah. So, okay, it's important to note, biologically, they're not my children, but they all do have food allergies, which is hilarious. Well, okay. So the oldest, he needed gluten and dairy free for cognitive function. The second is wheat, dairy, egg, beef, bovine, and red meat. The third, we lovingly call Mr. Low No Sugar, because he can't do sugars, chemicals, pesticides, food colorings. He got, like, he's his own little story. Like, we could talk about him for a long time. And then kid four, we thought was fine, turns out does better. Pretty much grain-free, dairy-based, keto, paleo-ish, somewhere in that vicinity. Lots of clean eating goes on in our house, even though I post about, you know, cookies, cakes, and desserts. There's a lot of clean eating going on behind the scenes. It's been interesting, to say the least. I mean, we did a lot of homeschooling, so that kind of changes things. And I think more than anything, I'm just an exhausted person. I'm tired. You know what I mean?
You're doing, like, well for someone exhausted.
I'm tired, man. I need I have not had a real vacation in over 20 years. Like, I'm tired, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's my summary of parenting. I mean, you have those moments where it's like, okay, that was fun, great, move on. But I mean, it's not an easy task. And I think people jump into it a lot of times, not real, like, babies are so cute. That's why I've told my kids for the past 15 years, babies are cute for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, you guys. And it's so funny, because sometimes, you know, they'll be around a baby and they'll be like, that was 10 minutes.
That was
before the kid starts to cry, right? Because that's my whole point. I'm like, 5 minutes, and then you got to be responsible. There's like crying and the diapers and the food, and like remember, kids, babies are cute. 5 minutes, and it's a responsibility that you do not want to. You know, it's funny, because I think pretty much each of our kids on their own has come with the conclusion, like, I don't know that I really want kids. Like, one of my kids says, I don't think I'd be a good parent because I'd forget stuff, and then, like, the kids would take advantage of me. And I laugh and said, dude, you're so right. And then they'd go to, like, your wife and be like, but dad said, and then your wife would be so mad at you, because she's like, did you tell the kids such and such?
And you sound like you've got very smart children.
Yeah, he's like, I think I'll just be better off not with children. I said, that's cool. Just remember, you can, like, volunteer at different places, and you could, like, teach a children's church class at church or something if you really want to be around kids for a little bit. So, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm like, it's the happy medium, because then you get to give the kids back. It's not your responsibility.
And the less of the gray hair and stress that comes with everything else.
Right? You know, and then you get to keep your disposable cash. You get to still go on vacation. Like, there, I mean, you know, if you love children and you want 10 of them, I say go for it. You know, I know for some people that's like their jam. And I've seen some amazing, amazing mothers with, like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids. And, you know, that's what they pour, like, their life energy into, and it's amazing, and you can see it because they're raising these great humans. Mm-hmm. And then I see other people where it's like they're totally single and they're loving it and it's perfect, and I'm like, you know what? You do you.
Yeah, exactly. You do you. That's a good look way of looking at it. And I need to ask you about this as well, because I remember seeing it about the bakery courses you do for little ones.
Yeah, so that's actually new. We're launching it. It's our first round. We've done some stuff in person before, but never digital. But with the whole world being virtual right now, it's like, okay. Yeah. Some homeschooling people asked us to put something together. And so that's how it started. And it's open to everyone, whoever wants to join. And it's virtual classes for kids. So you register and then you get an email with like the recipes, your equipment list, and everything you need to buy. And then you show up and it's like a virtual class, and I'm going to walk the kids through how to do things and explain things to them, talk about substitutions. And at the end of the class, they'll have safe and delicious food to eat. And they'll have done it, you know, because a lot of parents, they get a little overwhelmed. They don't know where to start. Right, just a little. Like it can be really complicated, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're trying to demystify that and give parents kind of a support and a resource where they can turn to for their Free From Kids. And in conjunction with that, we're actually writing pretty much the world's first Free From books, cookbooks designed for children. Nobody's done gluten-free, top 8-free cookbooks for kids, written in a way that kids can understand, you know, with all the cutesy kitty things and, you know, the kids like
stuff. Oh, mine would love that.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. We have an ebook pre-order up, but the books will probably launch in the fall of this year. But it's just, it's something that hasn't been done. And as you know about me, that's my thing, right? Not done, let's get it done.
Because
we need to make sure it's there for people when they need it. And, you know, that's really what it's about. Because right now, I feel like there, and I think, you know, you mentioned I'm passionate about helping children. I think part of the reason is because so much is geared for adults.
Right? Yeah.
We have so many resources for adults right now who are free from, but pretty much nothing for kids.
Yeah. And
I want kids to be able to take ownership of their diagnosis and then like also not feel bad about the diagnosis too. I think the one thing that our community is doing well for children is like, you know, those hardback children's books.
Yeah.
There's probably about 15 that are written for free from kids that explain like different food allergies and, you know, like different characters who have a food allergy, just different things like that. I think as a community, we've done well in that sense. And now we just need to step up our game like a lot, you know, and really make sure our kids are taken care of. And, you know, you also see it where free from parents are starting food companies. So some of the best ones right now, at least here in the States, have been started by free from parents where the kids have a food allergy and they just wanted their kid to have safe food.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the story of our bakery, right? We had a free from kid and there were no options. So we made options. So we have a lot of that going on. And now we just need to start passing the torch to the kids so that they can run with it and be the next, you know. It's, you know, it in a funny way, I'm trying to be a cross between, like, Oprah and Rachel Ray and Gordon Ramsay and, you know, these big names. I want to be a household name because I want people to be like, oh, food allergies? No big deal. Like,
absolutely. You
know? It doesn't have to be, like, the end of the world, which is how people feel right now. It's like you get the diagnosis and you're like, oh my goodness, how am I gonna survive? Because our cultures revolve around food, right? Everything is about food, and it can feel like really lonely, you know what I mean?
I think what you said before, you know, when you first get that diagnosis, it's look at all the things that we can't now have. The way that you've kind of twisted it is no, look at all the things that we can have that might be different to the things that we, you know, we thought we were going to have. Like, you know, you can't just walk into a supermarket necessarily and pick up a Mars bar, but we could make something equally as good and probably even better.
Right.
Ourselves.
Yeah. I also love the idea of, I don't know, like people seeing not only are these the things I can have, but I can have them without feeling like trash.
Right? Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously you've got people who have anaphylaxis. Not everybody has anaphylaxis. For some people, it's a less extreme response to food.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those people, or like a complex case where every day is, you know, inflammation and sinus infections and GI distress and all these things, right? The laundry list of things. It's like, wouldn't it be nice to have your cake and eat it too?
Yeah.
You know, to just eat the food you still want and still feel good. Like, to me, that's the ultimate win.
Definitely.
I think it just demystifies it. I remember, like, when quail was first, we were excluding all the different ones, and I was like, what can he have? I don't know where to even begin with this. So being able to do something like you say, the filler searching and
just... Well, and that's where our new... So we have a newly diagnosed program, which is separate from Raise. It's a totally free program. We're actually in the process of converting it to a free e-course, which will probably double the amount of content that's there. Brilliant. But that's exactly why we've started it. And we've been reaching out to like allergy doctors all over the country, and eventually we'll hopefully do it all over the world where they can tell their patients like, okay, you've just been diagnosed. I need you to go to this website.
Yeah.
They're going to take you here. Because the thing is I don't get your diagnosis. That's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is to say, show me what you have. Now I'll show you how to live and how to thrive. Right. So in this newly diagnosed course, we teach you like how to read labels, and, you know, we teach you the basics of everything. In fact, it started as almost like a joke, but it wasn't a joke, but it was a joke. A friend of mine says, yeah, when our son was diagnosed with a seed allergy, they didn't tell us what that meant. I was like, what? She goes, yeah, they just said, don't eat seeds, and sent us on our way. I was like, hold on. Are you serious right now? She goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so I said, kind of as like a half joke, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write a manual. I'm just going to write the manual and tell everybody everything they need to know about food allergies, et cetera. And that's what I ended up doing. And so what started as a joke ended up being the manual. Right now it's at over 50 pages long. I'm still, you know, hashing out the last of the details so it gets posted. But when you're in the newly diagnosed course, you're going to get this file that tells you literally if this is the allergy, you know, these are the types of foods it's found in. These are the hidden sources.
Yeah.
And these are some products you can try. You know, the whole point is to say you're on day one. You know, one of the things we give you is like a 3-day weekend warrior type meal plan. We give you a shopping list so you know exactly how to eat for the next 3 days. So it's one less thing to think about, right? It takes you from that worst moment. Because for some people, that's the worst moment of their life, that diagnosis moment, right? I just want to take you in that moment and give you like this virtual hug of resources.
Yeah.
Today. You're going to be okay. I mean, think about the day you were diagnosed, you know, or your kid was diagnosed.
Mm.
How much better would your life have been had someone given you that virtual hug and said, here, this is everything. And, you know, and it's why we want to work with allergists. And let me tell you, ladies, that's been the hardest part, is getting these allergists on board.
Really?
But getting them to see how valuable the tool is and to give it to the patient when they're diagnosed. Because could you imagine when you had that diagnosis, if the doctor said, take this card, I need to like, go to this website. Everything is there and they're going to take it from here. And that's all you needed.
Yeah.
And by the end of the weekend, you're fully educated and you're like, you're pumped. You're like, I can do this.
Yeah.
She even gave me some recipes to get started. Like, we're okay.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. We're going to make it. Like, could you imagine how good that would have felt?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, talk about life changing.
So I feel like you've already given us so much advice and tips. But our last question is, what is the number one piece of advice that you would give to someone who is newly diagnosed, who could, you know, or their child is newly diagnosed and they're listening to this?
Yeah. So that's actually one of my favorite questions to answer. Okay. I always tell people, it's the same answer. You do three things. Number one, I need you to grieve the loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, food is so important.
Yeah.
You might not be able to eat your grandma's favorite cookie recipe anymore, something of that nature, right? Grieve the loss because it's real. Because if you don't grieve the loss, you end up resenting the diagnosis over time. And I don't want that for anyone. So acknowledge it for what it is. Sit with it. Be mad. Do what you got to do, but recognize it, right? Mm-hmm. And then step two, most people have a sweet tooth. So I always say, eat something sweet. It could be as simple as a pitted date. Like, just, you need to give your brain the signal of, don't worry, sugar is still coming, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. obviously, if you're into savory foods, I need you to eat something savory. But for most people, it's sugar. And then the third step is to get busy living. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Take advantage of the resources being offered and just start doing. Because safe food, for a lot of people, it's not going to fall out of the sky. You're going to have to make it.
Yeah.
But you're not starting from zero, right? Like, there's enough resources available that somebody, even if it's not me, you know, we've got you somewhere. Like, we've pushed you along the first, you know, 10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000 miles of your journey. You know, it's there, whether it be a cookbook or a blog or whatever.
Yeah.
Just start doing. Also, when you're new, I'm just going to add this in. Follow the recipes, please. Do not get creative. I've seen some people where they're like, well, I swapped this for this and this for this and this for this, and it didn't come out right. And I'm like, yeah, because you didn't follow the recipe.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, guys, when it's free from, I told you to do it that way for a reason.
Yeah.
Trust me and do it.
Saving them the pain. Oh, Catalina, it's been an absolute joy listening to you. You're just so motivational. I'm like, hey, it's been a challenging few weeks and my headset was quite negative in all honesty. So it has been really refreshing to speak to you tonight.
I'm so glad I could be that little bit of joy for you ladies.
Yeah.
You know where to find me if you ever need another pick-me-up. Just just put together one of these link thingies and I'll click on it again and we'll just...
Yeah.
When are you bringing it to the UK? When are your cattle coming here?
Can I tell you guys? Okay, I feel like, honestly, I really am a UK citizen at heart. You know, it's like my thing. I would love to get over there one day and just, I don't know, do something. So one day.
Come and see us.
Yes, do.
No, I just want people to know, like, you got this.
Oh, I felt that so much, Kathleen. I feel like pumped. And Caitlin, we spoke before this, we were both a bit, we weren't in the greatest headset spaces. So I'm raring to go and I'm really looking forward to getting onto your website.
Good. I'm glad. Definitely check it out. Poke around, have some fun, make the pancakes, and then start making everything else. And like I said, sit down with your kids. And just get them pumped about it too. And what's really cool is, like, so right now, if you are a member, we have a tool called the favorite button where you can just push the button and it makes like a recipe box for you. Oh, but like I said, next week is the big rollout for the custom lists. What's really neat about that is if you have more than one child, you could have each child have a list of their favorites, which is really cool.
Oh, nice.
Because the thing about the list is you can name them whatever you want. So you could name it like next week's dinners or, Teddy's favorite desserts, whatever you want to call it. And it's just what you put into that list. And then you just go from there and you can make the shopping lists and do the things.
Yeah.
And I just, that's what it is, right? It's a tool of empowerment and freedom. In all honesty, that's the key. It's freedom.
Oh, I'm so inspired now. Kathleen, I could just talk to you all night. wealth of knowledge and inspiration. I've loved every minute of it.
I'm so glad. I enjoyed every minute as well.
Yeah, I've honestly been sat here with a smile plastered on my face listening to you. You are honestly, you're so inspirational.
This is good. This is very good. that's because, that's what I wanted to do. I just want to
give definitely
that little bit of hope and that inspiration to keep you going because this life is not convenient. I never want people to think that their feelings aren't valid, right? Yeah. Those feelings are very valid. We just need to sit with them for a little bit, and then we need that punch of encouragement to keep going.
It's nice to see how you've taken all of this and you're helping so many other people. So thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, it's great.
And if you're in the UK, please let us know.
Oh, my goodness. You guys are going to have to help me put together a tour. Like, I want to go top to bottom. I want to hit all of the UK. I want to do all the things. I want to do like a road show and cook food everywhere. And shop with people and do cooking classes with kids in person and be like, okay, kids, let's build like a giant cake village. And
the free film shows, 100%.
Yeah, like we're going to do everything. And I'm not even kidding. We're going to do like all of it. It'll probably take us like a few weeks though, just a heads up.
I don't doubt that you'll be doing it. You're so like on it, aren't you? You've done so much.
Yeah.
Inspirational.
Yeah, that's my goal. Like worldwide something,
Yeah.
Domination. Taking it over. We love it and we'll be supporting you.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds like a plan, ladies.
So if you'd like to find out more about Kathleen, you can head over to @theallergychef on Instagram and have a look at her website. And you must go and read her inspirational story because honestly, it is definitely one to read. We also have a special code that can give you 50% discount on the first month of your membership. The code is FFM50, but we will put all of the links and all of the codes, as always, in our show notes.
Oh, so Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have loved every minute of it, and I could sit here and talk all night and listen to your inspiration national worst beaches. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure, and I cannot wait for us to do this in person.
Yes,
we absolutely will.
We will. We will.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. A very happy Mother's Day to all the mums listening today. We hope you've managed to have a lovely day and taken some time for you. We're really grateful to our Jules, who's done a lovely tip, and this one actually made me cry because it's just so true. So I hope you enjoy it.
Jules here. So I'm thinking of my allergy tip, and to start with, I feel like a bit of a fraud for having to think for thinking of a tip, because most of the time I'm just getting by every single day, sometimes every minute at a time. So I'm not sure I'm the best person to be giving advice to other people. Saying that though, I've been on this allergy journey with my son for the last 3 years. He's got multiple allergies, and he has anaphylaxis, so they're quite serious ones. I think my tip is going to be around mindset. So when we first learned about Max's allergies, a lot of our thinking and a lot of our conversations were around what he can't have and what he can't do. But what I found is, say if we're going to go to somebody's house and they say, oh, what should we do food for Max? 99% of the time, I'll bring my own. But if they really want to provide him something, I'll suggest what he can eat. Because there is quite a lot of things that he can eat. He's still sort of alive and thriving after 3 years, so there must be things that he can eat. It's just when you focus on the negative and what he can't, it seems quite overwhelming. So firstly, yeah, what he can eat. I've also found that helps when we've gone out to a restaurant, so for a family meal at a restaurant, just giving the chef tips about what he can eat, which sounds crazy because obviously they're the professionals, but we are the professionals for our kids' allergies. We know all the details. And then linked to that, this is something that I'm trying to do more myself, and as Max becomes more of an individual and more of a character, I'm trying to be really conscious of this, is to think about the way that I describe him. So when I'm introducing him or when I'm talking about him to people, I don't just want to focus on the allergy. Yes, it's a really important thing that people do need to be aware of, but they should also be aware that he loves running and he runs really fast, or he loves trains, he is super creative, he loves doing crafts with me. We've been doing Easter egg crafts this week, very fun. But yeah, I don't want him to just be known as the boy who has allergies. Obviously, it is super important that people are aware and people will help him if he needs to be helped, and people don't put him at risk. But equally, I don't want him just to be known for that. There's all these other amazing parts of his personality that I don't want to get overshadowed. So those are my allergy tips at the moment, focusing around mindset, and I hope they help somebody else. Thanks, bye.
Oh, what a brilliant night it has been with Kathleen. We're so grateful to have had her on the show. We came right away just absolutely buzzing, and it really made me think about the way I speak to Quill about his allergies and how much we can do still with them and he can do. So I hope you have had that mindset. All the links to what we discussed and Kathleen's amazing website and resources will be in our show notes, so check them out and let us know what you thought on the Free From Mummies podcast at gmail.com. Thanks. Bye.